I stood at the foot of some mountains, convinced they were too hard to climb. Descended to dark, lonely valleys, afraid of the shadows I'd find. I've had those who would walk a while with me, but often they left me alone. And it seemed like the storm clouds above me would follow me all the way home. But from the hill where I'm standing today, I see two companions on my journey of faith. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder, I find His goodness and mercy have followed me all of my life. When I've had burdens to carry, God's mercy divided the load. And so many moments unnoticed, His goodness was smoothing the road. Though for now heaven's still just a promise, and the end is not clearly in view, I'll cling to His blessed assurance. I'll see Him when this life is through. But from the hill where I'm standing today, I see two companions on my journey of faith. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder, I find His goodness and mercy have followed me all of my life. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder, I find His goodness and mercy have followed me all of my life.
Well, folks, it's to be with you all once again this
evening. All right, I'm good. Okay. Oof, I thought I did something wrong there. I thought I was in trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble. All right, but it is a blessing to be with you all once again this evening. If you were here this morning, I enjoyed spending time with you this morning. I'm happy to be with you all once again tonight, and it certainly has been a blessing being here and just getting to see some folks, faces that I've seen, bringing my teenagers to the Clinton Youth Rally, the 8-hour youth rally. I see some folks that you know, you are serving and passing me a bag of chips and a line along with a couple hundred thousand other people, but it's good to actually shake your hand and get to know you a little bit. And man, I tell you what, I mean this, and I could be lying, but I'm not lying, I promise you. When I was a youth pastor, that was probably a top two activity that I took the teenagers to every year was the Clinton Youth Rally. They loved it. And they enjoyed it, and they benefited from it. And sometimes that meant breaking down. Sometimes that meant hitting a deer. Sometimes that meant all sorts of things with the vehicles. But they loved going to the. And as a youth pastor, you always you hope they come to the dodgeball game that you have at the church, but you really want them to show up for the youth conferences where there's preaching and something spiritual. And man, I would not have to. I would not have to poke and prod and twist arms behind their back to get them to come. They loved coming. I mean, we probably always brought a group of 45 teenagers or so to the rally, and they loved it. They enjoyed it. I remember one year, you know, one of our kids was crying in the service, not because the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, because they shot a t-shirt cannon and the t-shirt hit him right in the face. And that poor seventh grader was scarred from that activity. But he got over it. He got a t-shirt out of it. So, you know, after a couple of minutes, I went back to the chaperones or the leader's tent and got him a pack of Oreos. And all of a sudden, he was healed. So, enjoyed that. Enjoyed seeing folks. I'm used to seeing Brother Tharp out there when I'm up in front of people, but usually it's at Pilots and he's judging me. So I kind of, even now, I see him like writing some stuff down and I'm nervous. And I'm going to get a bad grade at the end of this, but it's been a blessing to be with you folks. I don't plan to be long because there's food afterwards. And I know y'all are as eager for me to finish as I am to get there myself. So I do not plan to be long. Of course, that's what they all say, right? So let's go ahead and turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13, if you would. And I asked this morning that you would pray for my son, and many of you folks have come up and asked how you say his name, Haddon, H-A-D-D-O-N, and said that you'd be praying for him, and I can't tell you what that means. I also thank you folks for praying for Brother Netterville with his cancer diagnosis and the little journey that he's been on. Little is nothing. The massive journey that he's been on with this. And please continue to pray for him. He's trying to get back out traveling, and it's not the same as it was before he had the cancer diagnosis, before all the chemo and everything. And he constantly says, please pray that he has the mind of Christ in decision-making. And so if you would, if you remember, please pray for Brother Netterville with his travels and with decision-making. And the ministry that we have has really just blown up, this Bible handout ministry that we have, where y'all are familiar. We set up a station and pass out Bibles with the full goal of not just giving them a Bible, but sharing the gospel with folks. And we've gotten that started. We have no idea. Hundreds of churches at this point. We don't know how many churches are doing it. We get calls on a bi-weekly basis of folks saying, hey, a friend of mine told me about it. We've been doing it. We got three or four families in our church. We need more Bibles. And so we have no idea how many folks are doing it. It boggles our mind to see that God's using this ministry. But if you would, just pray. That's growing, growing, growing. And there's more and more things that we got to keep on top of as that happens. And part of what's been going on with the chemotherapy and all the different medication is it's made his mind a little bit cloudy. You know, kind of like you just woke up from a nap. You ever been there? You maybe took too hard of a nap and you wake up and you just that's kind of how it feels for him a lot of the time. So and that's not helpful when you're trying to make decisions and prepare messages and things like that. So if you would, please continue to be in prayer for them. And he is dead set on continuing to. He says I want to die driving. I want to die, you know, die driving. And his wife says, please pull over before you do that. But he is dead set on just serving the Lord until the last moment or until he comes. So please just continue to pray for him. I know y'all are, but I would appreciate that. All right, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. You can remain seated. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And we'll jump into just this one verse and we'll bounce around for a little bit. But go ahead and look at that. It says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. I'm going to preach this evening on the topic, One Chose to Leave, the Other to Cleave. I'll explain that in a moment, but let's pray. Dear God, Lord, thank you for the good day that we've had in your house, Lord, the wonderful music, the refreshing worship that we've been able to uplift to you and song and the exhortation that we've received as a result of the singing, Lord, and the special music, the congregationals, the choir, Lord, and just the atmosphere of the folks in this building, Lord, that are happy to be in the house of God, Lord. It's been a blessing. We ask that you be with us during this time, Lord, that you illuminate the scriptures in our hearts and use me, Lord, in a way that I don't deserve to be used. We love you and thank you. In your name, amen. All right, is that working all right? All right. I really do mean that when I say it's been a blessing to be here. I noticed as soon as I walked in that there was a buzz in the building, and that is a blessing. And I'll be honest, you don't always get that everywhere you go when you go to as many churches as I do. But it was a blessing to come in here and see folks smiling as they walk through the doors. And when before and after service, when there's a lot of chatter, that's in my mind a sign of a healthy church. And I've enjoyed just seeing you all interact with one another and happy to be in the house of God. That has been a blessing. One chose to leave, the other to cleave. What we have here today is a tale. I want to preach a message about a tale of two different choices. And this thought first struck me as I was, this happens every once in a while. I'm sitting in the congregation listening to another man of God preach, and the Lord brings me a thought. And that's kind of what this message came from. A man was preaching on Lot, and he was preaching a great message on the downfall of Lot and his family because of the bad choices that he made. And in the preacher's introduction, he talked about Lot and Abraham separating. As you can see in verse 7, it says, "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And that's just, man of God was giving his introduction. Something hit me that I never really thought about before. You know, I've read this, I've heard messages preached on this, I've read books about this, and devotions about this, and I always saw Lot as having two options. He had the option to go east, choose the well-watered plains, or go west and avoid all that. Go east in the well-watered plains, the direction of Sodom, or go west and avoid all that. And we know what he chose to do. He chose to go east, and he paid the price for it. But I never really realized until the preacher was giving his introduction that day that Lot had a third choice. Lot could have chosen to stay with Abraham. Yeah, I know, Abraham had a lot of cattle, and Lot had a lot of cattle, and that was causing strife. But the preacher made a statement, and this wasn't his message at all. He was just giving his introduction. He made a statement that stood out to me. He said, "Lot, why don't you just get rid of some cattle? Why don't you just have a conversation with your herdmen about not arguing with the herdmen of Abraham and find a way to stick with Abraham. Find a way to stick with Abraham." Statement that caused me to think of another person who was in a similar situation in our Bible and was by the man that he looked up to was given a very similar ultimatum but made a different choice. So let's stay in Genesis 13, put a bookmark there or something, and let's turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Lot could have chosen to go left, could have chosen to go right, or he could have chosen to find a way to square things with Abraham and stick with him. But he didn't choose that. Abraham came to him and said, "All right, it's time for us to separate." And he could have chosen to say, "No, I'm not going to separate. I'm going to stick with you." Another man had a similar situation in 2 chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse number 6, we have Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha. It says in verse 6, "And Elijah said unto him," that's Elisha, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, this is different than what Lot said. This is different from what Lot told Abraham. What Elisha said to Elijah was said, he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. Now, Elisha had been traveling with Elijah. I'm not exactly sure how long. A lot of guys seem to agree that it was about 6 years. But when it came time for them to part and Elijah was to be taken up into heaven, his response was different from Lot's. He said, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm sticking with you." One of these men chose to leave. The other chose to cleave. And now there are some things that we can leave and it's okay. You know, eventually you put aside the training wheels and you go without them and you leave the training wheels behind. You just take the two wheels on the bike. It's okay to leave those things behind. Sometimes it's okay to leave a vehicle that you've driven for a while and you've gotten use out of it, and it's okay to leave that behind. Sometimes it's okay to leave a house and move to a different house and maybe a nicer house or a better area or more property. Sometimes it's okay to leave some things in the past, and that's fine. But some things are more important. Some things cannot be replaced. They are necessary. They're vital. One of the big things, the hot topics of today, of our time, on earth right now is artificial intelligence, about its replacing man in many different areas and taking over jobs and doing all these things. And that's been around for a while. My brother works at, I mentioned this morning, I worked at Chase Bank. My brother also still works there from college. And not too long ago, he flew down to Texas for a meeting. I happened to be in Texas traveling at the same time. We got to meet up. And I picked him up in front of this factory, this huge, huge building where Chase made the plastic for their debit cards, their credit cards, where all the cards were actually made. And he walked out of this massive building, and he told me, man, this whole thing is all Chase, and every square inch of this room is utilized by Chase. And there's hundreds of thousands of cards being printed at such a rapid pace. But what was craziest about the whole thing was, while hundreds of thousands of cards and all that precise information, each number's got to be different, every name's got to be different, it's all being printed, there's four people that worked in that big building. The rest was done by machines. Four maintenance folks, really, just to make sure that nothing was blowing up, that everything was going okay, and if there was something wrong, they press two buttons, and then it keeps going up. Four people monitoring this whole big factory. And that's been around for a while, machines replacing man. But, you know, that can creep into our infrastructure a little bit, but we all know there are some things that cannot be replaced by a machine. There are some positions, whether it be a teacher or a preacher or a parent, that cannot be replaced by technology. And you know what? There's some things in our lives that we need to make sure that we don't move on from, that we don't leave, that we don't replace. Lot and Elisha both had a choice to leave or to cleave. They each made their choice, and I think it's clear to all of us that know the story which one ended with a better result. So I want to highlight just a few areas where each of these men and their decisions chose to leave and chose to cleave. One chose to leave, one chose to cleave. Lot chose to leave, and Elisha chose to cleave to, number one, a godly influence. A godly influence. You know what? Everybody knows this. Abraham was a godly man. A godly man. In Genesis 17, he's described as the father of many nations. In James 2, he's described as the friend of God. Wouldn't that be a great thing for us to be described as? I'd love to be, you know, father of nations, that's cool. Even being in the Hall of Faith, that's cool. But if I could just settle for being called a friend of God. That's what Abraham was. He was in the Hall of Faith for trusting God. In fact, think about this. 14 chapters of your Bible are all detailing the events and the life of Abraham. 14 chapters devoted to this man. Abraham mentioned 280 times in Scripture. I think he'd be a no doubt man of God. A no doubt man of God. Elijah was a man of God as well. Prophet. He was fed by ravens in the wilderness. He intervened in the life of the widow and her son, who, due to God's miracle, had oil and meal supplied daily. He challenged Baal's priest to that duel of the gods and won in spectacular fashion. In fact, Elijah was one of the three that appeared to Jesus and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was another, no doubt, man of God. Yet Elisha stayed with Elijah, and Lot chose to separate from Abraham. Oh, Lot. If we could all go back and grab Lot by the shoulders, we'd say, Lot. Don't leave the man, the godly influence that you have. No. Hey, I know you got some strife between your herdmen. I know you got a lot of cattle. He's got a lot of cattle. But hey, I know he's saying you can go left, you can go right. But I'm encouraged a lot. Don't leave the godly influence that you have in Abraham. Don't leave this man of God. In Proverbs, it says that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Don't leave the man of God. I think if Lot could go back, he'd say, man, I got to find a better way to solve this dispute instead of separating from Abraham. And Jeremiah says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God has given some the gift of pastoral leadership for the perfecting of the saints. And you know what? As a church, and I'm not talking about Lot, I'm not talking about Elisha. As a church here in 2025, it would be a good idea for us not to leave, but to cleave to godly pastoral influence. That'd be a good thing for us to do. I believe, I know enough to know that God has given you a great pastor and a man of God. I encourage you, cleave to the influence that you can get from a man of God. Cleave to it. Hold on to it. Don't leave it. Don't look for the well-watered plains. Don't even look to the left or the right. Just cleave to that man of God. Show up to church when the doors are open. Pray for your pastor. Talk with your pastor. Follow the example of your pastor. You know, Lot chose to follow Abraham, but for some reason, eventually chose to leave him.
We don't know exactly why. The scriptures don't tell us, but we can make some assumptions. I wonder if partially it's what happened in chapter 12. If you were to read chapter 12, we're not going to look at it right now, but Abraham messes up. He lies to Pharaoh about his wife. He says that his wife's his sister, and then he gets caught red-handed for it. God tells Pharaoh what happened. Pharaoh calls him out. I don't know. Maybe Lot thought that since Abraham made a mistake that he knew better than he did. Maybe he thought that he was no good. Maybe he said, man, this guy's a hypocrite. What am I following this guy around for? I don't know what the deal was. But I think if we could go back in time and talk to Lot, he might give his uncle another chance. He might say, you know what, the best of men are men at best, and my uncle, he fell short in this area, made a mistake, but you know what, I'm going to cleave to the man of God. I'm going to cleave to the godly influence that God has placed in my life. He should have chosen to resolve the issues with their cattle instead of separating. I think if we could go back, Lot chooses to stay with Abraham. Read this passage and think of this story. I got to ask myself, why would I ever leave rather than cleave to the godly counsel that I hear from my pulpit on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? That's not something we should ever leave. We should cleave to. I think about Brother Jack Treiber out there in California. He's got a book. I was at his church and he was promoting this book. I went to their bookstore and I saw it and it said, "Carry the exact title," but it said something to the effect of "Biblical Answers to Common Problems." And I opened up, and the first page was a table of contents, and it had 35 different topics. It had marriage, it had finances, parenting, vices, smoking, drinking, all these different things, tons of different things. And I thought, man, and the most crazy thing about it was the book was only about that thick. It was only not even a half inch thick. It was a tiny book. I thought, my goodness, how in the world was he able to put all the answers from the scriptures, all the answers to these problems in this tiny little book? So I said, man, you know, I hadn't bought the book. I'm in the bookstore, and I got to at least look at the first page. The first page says, "The biblical answers to your problems in marriage." And then it just had a list. It didn't have paragraphs. It didn't have sentences. It just had a list. And number one, it said, read your Bible. Number two, it said, pray. Number three, it said, go to church. Number four, it said, go sowing. Number five, it said, tithe. And I said, okay, that's pretty interesting. I turned the next page. It said, biblical solutions to your problems in child rearing. And guess what? It was the same thing. It just had a list. It said, number one, read your Bible. Number two, pray. Number three, go to church. Number four, go sowing. Number five, tithe. Number six, go to Sunday school. And then I looked at finances, I looked at smoking, I looked at drinking, I looked at every page was the exact same. Folks, what is that? That's just saying we ought to cleave to the things that God has given us. We need to cleave to the godly influence that we get from this pulpit on a consistent basis. And godly counsel can come from other places too, but no matter where it comes from, it should be held in high regard. Young people, can I say this? Cleave to the counsel of your folks at home. Cleave to it. Cleave to it. Man, oh man, I don't know where I'd be if I had chosen to leave the counsel of mom and dad. If I'd chosen, and my mom definitely wasn't a preacher. I mean, she could preach, don't get me wrong. But my mom wasn't a preacher. My dad was an assistant pastor, but he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a great orator. But you know what? They gave me counsel on a very continual basis. And I could have chosen to leave that. I could have chosen to say, mom and dad, that worked for you guys, but I live in a different era, a different age. But man, I tell you, young people, cleave to the godly counsel of your folks. You'll never go wrong. God will bless you. God will bless you for cleaving instead of leaving the counsel of your folks. Young couples, young parents, let's not be too proud to admit that we don't know everything there is to know about parenting, about family finances, or the other things that we're working through. You know, people used to go to church. People used to go to the pastor. People used to sit in the pew and in Sunday school and ask the folks at church their advice on those topics. But now people my age, they run to the blogs and the vlogs and the social media influencers and these people online that are heathen as heathen can be and looking to them for advice on how to raise their kids. Hey, don't, that's leaving. We need to cleave to the godly influences they have in our life. Hold godly counsel in high regard. Elisha stayed with Elijah. Elisha stayed with Elijah. Miracles upon miracles were formed with Elisha. And exactly double the works that Elijah performed, Elisha was recorded doing. He knew he couldn't go wrong if he stuck. Hey, look at that. I didn't break it, preacher. I didn't break it. All right, I'm going to stick that there.
He knew he couldn't go wrong if he stuck by wise counsel. He could have chosen to leave. In fact, the man of God gave him, he said, hey, it's time for us to separate. But he said, no, 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 I'm not going to leave. I'm going to cleave to the godly counsel that's gotten me this far. We shouldn't just leave, but we should cleave not only to godly counsel, but to also to godly blessings. Godly blessings. Oh, Elisha was blessed heavily. I just said he got to see God work on a regular basis by being with Elijah. And hey, seeing God work is a big blessing. Seeing God do things in your church, seeing God do things in your life, seeing God do things in your family, seeing God do things in your community, that is a blessing. Pastor mentioned the last couple of weeks, folks have been getting saved. Man, that's not something we should get tired of. Seeing God work in a life is a blessing. And Elisha got to see that in a miraculous fashion all the time by sticking by Elijah. He got to see blessing, blessing after blessing after blessing. He got to be a part of all these blessings. Before Elijah was taken up into heaven, he asked Elisha what it was that he could do for him. Elisha didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame. He said, a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He said, I don't want to be half the man you are, Elijah. I want to be twice the man that you are. And God gave it to him. He didn't leave the blessings that he had been given. He cleaved to those blessings, and God gave him an even greater blessing. What if Elisha had left? What if he'd have stayed back? He would have missed out on that blessing. What if when Elijah said, hey, it's time for us to separate, he would have said, all right, that's fine. You know, I've had a good time. It's been fun. You know, I've enjoyed my time at church. I've enjoyed my time listening to the preaching. I've enjoyed my time serving. But you know what? I've been doing that for a little while. It's probably fine. It's probably time that I do my own thing. It's probably time that I find my own path and forge my own way. But no, he didn't do that. He said, hey, I've been sticking with you, and God's been blessing me, and I've been seeing things done in your life and in my life and in people's lives. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stick with you. As long as the blessings are coming, I'm not going anywhere. And when he did that, God blessed him in an even greater fashion. Well, Lot was blessed too, it seems. Oh, yeah, he stuck by his godly uncle and became quite blessed. He had flocks, he had herds, he had tents, his substance was great. And the Bible says that he was a just man. No doubt he was blessed for being just as well. He was so blessed that his flocks and herds became so great that he was having trouble fitting into his uncle's space. But he could have worked things out, I got to imagine. I got to imagine there was something he could have done instead of just separating from Abraham. Maybe it was downsized a few tents. Maybe it was neglect getting a bigger bonus and downsize on his company, if you will. He could have done something. He could have gone to his herdman and said, hey, quit arguing with his guys. We've been blessed by sticking with this man. We've gotten godly counsel by sticking with this man. So quit arguing. Just settle it and let's do this the right way. But he didn't. Despite the fact that sticking with his uncle had worked so well for him, he decided to leave his uncle. When trouble came, when conflict arose, is when he decided to leave. Folks, we should not leave the place of God's blessing in our life just because of conflict. You know, conflict itself is never a good reason to leave a situation. If leaving due to conflict was the right thing to do, then Noah would have left the ark after being criticized. Oh, David would have left after Saul tried to kill him. Daniel would have left his prayer closet after it was deemed illegal. Joseph would have left in expecting Mary once the comments began. Paul would have left his mission works after the first beating, or the second beating, or the third beating, or the third jail, or the fourth jail. Christ would have left us and skipped the cross if leaving because of conflict was the right thing to do. Lot should have been a man about it. He should have gone to Abraham and said, hey, we got problems, we got some issues, let's sit down, let's figure this out, because with you I've been blessed, and I want to continue to be blessed. We've got conflict in our lives. We need to be careful that we don't run at the first sign of trouble. Too many folks are running at the first time of trouble. You look at the amount of turnover the average tenure of a person in their average position at a work job, at a work site or at a job is so much shorter than it used to be. People are getting a job, and at the first sign of trouble, at the first little reprimand from the boss, they're leaving. We don't need to leave at the first sign of trouble, folks. We need to stick to the place where God has blessed us. If you're in a place of blessing, whether it's because of your own good works that God's blessing you for, or because you've settled into a place that God wants you to be, cleave to that and don't leave it. When Lot left the place that God had him in, where he was being blessed, when he left that place, so did the blessings go. Oh yeah, he had a pretty good time for a little while.
Oh, yeah, he had a good job, but he didn't have the blessings of God. Oh, he had a nice home right by the wall in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't have the blessings of God. Oh, the kids were growing up, and they seemed to be doing all right, but he didn't have the blessings of God. Hey, folks, your life has its struggles and hard times, but things are good for the most part. Don't leave the well-watered plains. Don't leave for the well-watered plains. Don't pitch your tent somewhere else because of a new opportunity. Don't leave the place of God's blessings in your life, but cleave to it. Cleave to it. Thank God for those blessings. God, you've blessed me. You've given me this church family that I have. You've given me this family that I have. You've given me a godly church family that I can go to when in times of need. You've given me a godly pastor. You've given me direction from your word. You've blessed my life. I'm going to cleave to it. I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to leave it just because a phone call comes that says there's an opportunity somewhere else. Or just because this or that, or just some conflict comes in my life and things are getting a little tough at the house, so I'm just going to scatter and try something else. No, no, no. Don't leave the place of God's blessings, but cleave to it. Elisha was willing to sacrifice his God-giving blessings for something greater, and Lot sacrificed something greater for his God-given blessings. We don't need to leave, but need to cleave to our godly counsel. We don't need to leave, but we need to cleave to our godly blessings. And lastly, we don't need to leave, but we need to cleave to God's presence. God's presence. God was with Abraham. Oh, yes. He talked with him regularly. I said it before. He was a friend of God. And you'd have to be a friend of God to do what Abraham did. Pick your family up and move the whole family. Where are we moving, Dad? I don't know. God said, well, tell us later. You'd have to be a man of God. You'd have to be a friend of God to do something like that. Abraham was a friend of God. He was in God's presence on a very continual basis. God was close to Abraham. I don't need to lay out that the presence of God was not with Lot. That's very clear by the choices that he chose to make, by the place that he chose to live, by the lifestyle that he was living. Lot could have chosen to stay with Abraham, who was close to God. But he chose to leave. I've said it before. He had lots of cattle, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had the well-watered plains, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had many possessions, but he didn't have the presence of God. He ended up with a nice place to live, but he didn't have the presence of God. He ended up with a family. All the kids got grown up and married. And for some folks, that's their whole goal in life. You know, that's great, but he didn't have the presence of God. They got to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but he didn't have the presence of God. He was so close to it. He was so close to Abraham. He was so close to this man who was mentioned 280 times in Scripture. He was so close to the man that was a part of the Hall of Faith. He was so close to him. Hey, maybe if he'd have stuck with him, maybe Lot would be in the Hall of Faith. Maybe he'd be mentioned a couple of more times. Who knows what God could have done with Lot if he'd have just stuck by where the presence of God was. But he didn't cleave to it. He left it. And he lost the presence of God. Well, we know God was with Elijah. Oh, yeah, God was with Elijah. God, he got to see God work in many, many ways in his life. And Elisha was there for a lot of it. Elisha got to see it too. Elisha saw that the presence of God was on Elijah and made a decision that he wasn't going to go anywhere else. Oh yeah, he could have left. He could have left the presence of Elijah and leaving the presence of God. He could have gone. In fact, a lot of his buddies did. Go back to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, if you're still there, 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Go ahead and look at verse number 3. It says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. That's modern day for you. Hey, I just stop talking. Leave me alone. Shut up. Hold ye your peace. I don't need those stupid comments. That's what he's saying. Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. His college buddies left him. He could have chosen less conflict. In fact, his spiritual leader, the man that he looked up to more than anybody else, even told him it was time to separate. And he said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. He respected the godly counsel of Elijah, but his devotion was to God more than it was to Elijah. He said, God told me to stick with you, Elijah. And even when you tell me it's time to separate, I've got to stick with you. I'm not going anywhere. He said, if this is where the presence of God is, I'm not going anywhere. Continue to look at 2 Kings in verse number 7. It says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. All 50 of those men, and only one stuck with Elijah.
And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Go to verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Verse number 13. And he took up also, this is Elisha now, the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Man, I love this story. I love this story. You got to think about this young man. This young man's been with Elijah for, who knows, 6 years? 6 years, and he's been watching this man, and he's been learning from this man. And man, every bit of counsel that he gave, Elisha would just scoop it up and cleave to it. And he's been watching God use this man. And he's seen miracle after miracle after miracle. He's seen God work in Elijah's life. He's got to see God work in people's life. He's seen so many different incredible things. And now it's time for Elijah to go. And man, Elisha's not looking forward to that day. Elisha knows it needs to happen, but he's not looking forward to it. He says, man, I've been sticking with you. I've seen God use you. You've got the presence of God on your life. I don't want you to go anywhere. And even when Elijah said, hey, I'm to do the rest of this journey on my own, you stay back. He said, I know that's what you want me to do, but I can't do it. As long as the presence of God is on you, I don't want to go anywhere. And he continued on with him. And he was with him until the very end. And he got to see Elijah taken up in that whirlwind. A chariot of fire. I can't imagine the feeling that Elisha had when that happened. Looking up into the sky thinking, he's gone. He's really gone. This man that I've admired, this man that I followed for all these years, he's really gone. And then I can imagine the fear that crept over him as he thought, is the presence of God gone with him? Is the presence of God gone as well? I've tried to cleave to that man because he had the presence of God, but now that he's gone, is God's presence gone as well? And he sees that mantle on that ground. And he picks that thing up. And the Bible says, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I don't think he said it like that. I don't think he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? No, I think there was some desperation. I think there was some concern. I think there was some begging in that. And he smotes and he says, God, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Has your presence gone or is it still here? Has your pride been trying to cleave to that presence, God? Is it gone or is it still here? And he smotes those waters, and the waters part. And he knows that the presence of God is now with him. That the presence of God that he's been cleaving to now is resting on him. He wanted the presence of God. He cleaved to that presence of God, and eventually he had the presence of God himself. The question we got to ask ourselves, are we going to leave or are we going to cleave? Have you been cleaving to the godly counsel that you get from this pulpit? Hey, I got to be honest, there's so many folks my age and even older and young, it's an epidemic. You know, there's a lot of good books out there. There's a lot of good articles. There's a lot of good videos. There's a lot of good publications put out there. But you got to be careful what you're reading all the time. You got to be careful who you're reading all the time. Too many folks are reading. We have so many resources at our disposal, and the devil can get us reading all these different resources, and we read all these different resources and forget that we got a man of God at our pulpit every single week. Be careful. Are you cleaving to the godly counsel that you get from your Sunday school teacher, from your preacher? Young people, are you cleaving to the godly counsel that you get from mom and dad at home? Are you cleaving to that? Have you been cleaving to the godly blessings? Have you been cleaving to the godly blessings? Hey, where do we find the blessings of God? Well, let's read that book, okay? Let's get that book by reading our Bible, by praying, by going to church, by tithing, by going soul winning, by going to Sunday school. If those are the things that God has, that you've been doing, and it is a result of those things, God has been blessing you, don't leave that. Don't leave that, but cleave to it. Hey, young people, don't leave that. I told Pastor, it's been good to see some young people that I saw at camp, people that I saw at Pilots, young people that I've seen at the Clinton Youth Rally, and they were sitting up here with all the teenagers a couple of years ago. Now they've grown up, and they're still here. You know what? I like to see that. That's a young person that said, I'm not going to leave, but I'm going to cleave. I'm going to cleave to it. I'm not going to depart from it, but I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let it leave like Lot did. Have we been cleaving to the presence of God? I love what it says in Exodus. It says, And Exodus 33:15, he says, if your presence go not with me, if your presence go not with me, that old song, if your presence go not with me, I don't want to go. Is that our attitude tonight about the presence of God? Yeah, I know the preacher needs the presence of God, but man, as a parent, you need the presence of God too. I know the Sunday school teacher needs the presence of God, but man, as a husband, as a wife, we need the presence of God too. As a soul winner, we need the presence of God. As a leader, as a church member, we need the presence of God in our lives. Have we chosen to cleave to that? Or are we leaving it? Don't sacrifice the presence of God because of conflict or hard times or even just contentment with the status quo. Just remember that there's some things that we can't replace. Hey, there's no AI for godly counsel. There's no ChatGPT for godly blessings. There's no artificial intelligence, definitely, for the presence of God. We have a choice. Lot, I feel for Lot. I feel for him. I think as he's running, he's going to look behind him. All the people and friendships that he had made, all the work that he'd put in to get to that lofty position there by the wall in Sodom, he can't even turn around to look at it one more time. He ends up losing his wife for that very reason. So he's running away, and you got to imagine he must have been thinking, I should have stayed with Abraham. I should have stayed with Abraham. I should have sold some of those stupid cattle. I should have gotten rid of some of those stupid tents. I should have stayed with Abraham. Then you have another young man, Elisha, who I bet years later on down the road, he says, I'm so glad I stuck by Elisha. I'm so glad for those 6 years I listened to the godly counsel that he was giving. And I stuck by with him, saw the blessings of God, and was able to participate in all those great things that we got to see God do. And then stuck with him to the very end and was able to have the presence of God myself. One chose to leave, the other to cleave. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're 100% for sure that you're saved. You know for sure, without a doubt, that if you died today that you'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand in testimony of that? What a blessing. What a blessing. You can put your hands down. Never get tired of that. If there is anybody in this room that would say, Brother Andrew, I don't know if I died right now, whether I'd go to heaven or not, but I'd like to know. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Is there anybody like that in the auditorium today? I don't know if I died right now, whether I'd go to heaven or not, but I'd like to know. That's you. Would you raise your hand? Congregation. Am I choosing to leave or am I choosing to cleave? Hey, maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar tonight and say, Lord God, I've been cleaving for these many years and I just want to commit to you that I'm not going to leave. I'm going to continue to cleave. Lord, thank you for the presence. Thank you for the godly blessings. Thank you for the counsel that you've given to me. I'm going to continue to cleave. And maybe, just maybe, there's one or two that need to come down to the old-fashioned altar and say, God, I've started to leave some of the things that you've given me. The counsel that I get from your book, from those that you've put as my authorities, I'm not cleaving to it, I'm leaving it. Would you help me? The godly blessings, that the things that I've been doing, that you've instructed me to do, that have blessed me to this point, some of those things are starting to slip. Starting to leave. Lord, help me to be thankful and cleave to those things. And oh my, Lord, dear Lord, help me to never leave your presence. Preacher said it this morning, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But if you take one step away from God, we don't want to leave that presence. We need to cleave to it. You may stand as the piano plays.